Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter, chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. In most things, you wouldn't think it, but I'm pretty OCD. When I hang up my clothes, if I have a white shirt, I look for a white hanger. If I have a yellow shirt, I look for a yellow hanger. I'm sort of weird like that. I do wash and hang up my own clothes.
He's right. He does that.
Of course, he folds them. She has to fold them. Not plus I would fold them. I hate to be stressed out. I hate to be late. So this morning, we left in plenty of time, and we got the Diamond Head. And I never forget something. Melanie always forgets. Always. And I can't even blame her. So you all will probably think it's sort of trivial, and it's pretty trivial, but it was right at 9:30. I said, there's no way I can make it. But I turned around because I had to go back and get it. And I forgot my jacket. So, and I would have been here without a jacket. I'd take the jacket off, but I was sort of OCD about that. And I stressed the whole way. So the Lord watched over me. Going about 80 or 85 all the way there. She said, what happened? I said, well, you told me to pick up the dog. And she said, I knew it was me. I said, no, it wasn't you. So I can't blame her. I wish it was her fault because I'd get all over her right now. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let's stand. And I won't keep you very long. Y'all say amen. I wanted to preach something else, and then yesterday the Lord told me not to preach what I wanted to preach right now. He gave me something else to preach, so that's what we'll do every day. I want to read three verses. 1 Peter chapter number 2. We look forward to meeting this week. I hope everybody be faithful. Invite somebody. Call somebody. Invite friends, family, co-workers, anybody that you can. Invite people off the street, red, yellow, black, or white, get them here. Amen. All right. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Father, we ask, Lord, once again for your blessing. We ask for a holy unction from on high, fresh and new anointing, and we pray that you'll help us be obedient today. I pray that you'll give us insight and light the eyes of our understanding. Help us to preach. Lord, help those that are here to hear your word. And Lord, with the intent upon taking heed to it. Oh God, I pray that you'll have your will and your way with us here this afternoon. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, encourage us, convict us, correct us. Oh God, I pray that you'll change our lives. Lord, I've not come to manipulate hearts or to manipulate lives and to change lives. I can't do it. Lord, we know that you can do it. So, Lord, we're looking to you. Lord, we're reading your word. We're preaching your word. We're studying your word. And, Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit will take the sword of the Spirit. Lord, that he'll just straighten us out this week. Give us revival, I pray. Give this church revival. Give this pastor and his family revival. Oh God, I pray that you'll just meet with us here today. We thank you for all the good food. We thank you for all the good singing. And Lord, we pray that you'll just bless here now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One preach today on why some people never grow spiritually. Why some people never grow spiritually. I'll ask a few questions if I can. Really just one question. How many of you that are here this afternoon have been saved more than 1 year? more than 5, about 10, 20, 30, 40. People have been saved more than 50 years. How many of you got here more than 50? I know you're all right. So the question is, no matter how long you've been saved, whether it's 1, it's 50, it's 100, how long you've been saved? A little over 50 years. Amen. The question is, have we been growing ever since we've been saved? That's the important thing. Amen. It's, you can't measure yourself to somebody else. You can't say, well, I must be doing good because I'm doing better than brother so-and-so, or I'm doing better than sister so-and-so, because I'm a faulty measuring stick. Everybody else is a faulty measuring stick. Amen. We have to measure ourselves against the Lord Jesus and against the Word of God. Spiritual growth, I believe, is natural. I believe it is to be expected. However, spiritual growth is not inevitable. I believe that we can hinder and we can hamper our spiritual growth to the point that we either stop it or we stunt our growth. Amen. I believe that professing believers do not always grow, although we should. Y'all agree with me? Many have experienced some complications in their spiritual growth or lack thereof along the way. It's been interrupted with some. Sin has been allowed. That'll stop your spiritual growth. It'll stunt your growth. Rebellion has been chosen. Sometimes it's just a distraction that you go through, a discouragement, some sort of difficulty. Some people go through hard times and troublesome times, and instead of getting better, they get bitter, they get mad with God, they fall out with the church, they fall out with the pastor. In reality, they've fallen out with God. Amen. So, you know, whatever the reason, a lot of people have just experience some complications. Many that I know of today, many children of God have not grown in years. Many have not grown since they've been saved. I believe that's why we have many 50 and 40 and 30 and 20 year old babies sitting in church houses today. Amen. I believe preachers are limited in what they can preach, because we have to preach on the level of people's spirituality. You can't preach on the most spiritual level. You have to go to the lowest one. Amen? And so we're limited. And people have to grow in order for the preacher to grow, in order for the preacher to expand in his preaching. The people have to grow. Amen? I read a story about a preacher who went to a church one time, and it was his first sermon as pastor, and he kept on preaching on repentance. He preached on repentance, his very first sermon. And then that Sunday night he preached on repentance. And then Wednesday night he preached on repentance. Went on for about a month. And you know, the deacons, I usually call them demons, but you know, the deacons, they all got together and they said, something wrong with that preacher. We need to talk to him. They got together with the preacher, said, preacher, you've been preaching on repentance for a month. You've been here a month. Don't you know anything else? He said, yeah, I know other things. He said, when are you going to preach on anything else? He said, when you repent. Amen. So I believe that God's people got to grow. If we don't grow, then preachers and pastors are limited. You know, there's no neutral ground when it comes to spiritual growth. Either you are growing or you are going backwards. You are backslid. Can you say amen? And complacency has no place in the Christian and in the church. Many professing believers are the same spiritually as they have always been. They're just as complacent, just as indifferent, just as insensitive. They've never grown in their Bible knowledge. They've never read the Bible all the way through from cover to cover. Amen. And I believe every child of God ought to read the Bible through and through. You say, what do you do when you get done reading it? Read it again. Amen. And read it again. I'm ashamed that Christians know more about cars and cell phones and social media and gossip book, I mean Facebook and all those kind of things, more than they know about the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that many children of God have never grown in their prayer life. You know, they can talk your head off, but you can't pray more than 5 minutes. Somebody say amen. You get these people, they think they get down and pray, and man, they're just pouring it on, and they get up and they think they've prayed an hour, and they look and it's been about 3 minutes. It's hard to pray, amen. You gotta grow in the prayer, amen. Somebody say amen. If you'll help me now, I'll get through quick. I mean, many have not grown in their witnessing. They're never burdened. They never have been burdened, Brother Shedder. They have never won anybody to the Lord. I believe if you've been saved for quite a while and have never led anybody to the Lord, you ought to be ashamed of yourself right now. You ought to make a commitment this week that you're going to tell somebody about Jesus. You ought to pray and plead to the Lord that He'll give you some lost soul this week. Can you say amen? I believe that many have never grown in their giving. They still don't tithe. Amen. I believe many have never grown in their love. They don't love Jesus. They don't love sinners. They don't love, you know, the saints. They don't love the church. They don't love the pastor. I just wonder even if they're saved. Say amen. All right. Are y'all with me or are you sleeping? Are y'all happy?
Amen.
Are you glad that you're saved?
Amen.
Somebody need to tell your face that y'all. But I'm so full. Many have not grown in their faithfulness to the church. They're still not dependable. Predictably undependable. You know when certain folks will be at church. You know when they're there a week or two or maybe 3 weeks or a month. You know just pretty soon they're going to find a reason, excuse, something is going to be an inconvenience and they're not going to show up again for another couple of weeks. You know, I got folks that I know they're going to be there every Sunday morning, but I can't expect them any other time. I have folks that will be there, you know, Sunday morning and Sunday night, but I will not expect them on Wednesday. Amen. That's just because some folks haven't grown. There are still children of God that don't attend Sunday school. What about that? You know, just so smart. You know everything about the Bible. You don't need another Sunday school lesson. Amen. You don't need to know anything else about the Bible. You know, I believe many have not grown in their commitment to the Lord. They're not surrendered. They've not surrendered themselves. They're not surrendered to service. They've not grown in their convictions. They always compromise. They never take a stand about anything. They've not grown in their service. They don't do anything outside the walls of the church house. They've not grown in their separation. They're still worldly. Their talk is worldly. Their actions are worldly. Their walk is worldly. Their thoughts are worldly. They have no influence for the Lord. I believe that there are many that have never grown in their spiritual life in any area whatsoever. Can you say amen? I wonder what's wrong when that happens. I believe something is missing. I ask myself when I see children of God that never grow, I ask them, you know, I ask myself, what is the problem? You know, something is just not right there. Do you agree with me? I want you to notice a couple things in the text that I read, 2 Peter chapter number 2. I want you to notice the word wherefore. The word wherefore refers back to what was previously said. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but if you'll look at verse number 18 of chapter number 1, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish," or without blemish and without spot. Look down in verse number 23. He says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Then he says, "Wherefore," in verse number 1. In other words, he's saying, having said that, you need to lay aside all these things, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Having said that, grow since you've been saved. Having said that, or in other words, wherefore, since you have been born again, you ought to be growing.
Amen.
Amen. So the question remains, why don't some people grow? Why aren't some church members growing? Why aren't people that are professing believers in Christ growing like they ought to? I'll give you three things out of the text. Three things. One thing out of each verse. First of all, I believe that some people have elected not to obey God. If you are not growing as a child of God, it is because you have chosen to disobey the Word of God, and especially its commandment concerning spiritual growth. And I believe that it becomes evident in their lives. I believe that other people can see it. I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. There's a commandment there that says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I believe, Brother Shedder, that some folks have elected not to obey the Word of God. Now I want you to look at the text and I want you to notice the spiritual subtraction in verse number 1 where he says, laying aside all these things is necessary before you can ever have the spiritual addition of the phrase in verse 2, grow thereby. If you want to grow, if you want to have spiritual addition in your life, there has to be spiritual subtraction. You've got to get some things out. I believe it's a serious, serious decision to choose not to grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 tells you and I that are born again that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Amen. We do not belong to ourselves. You and I belong to Him. And I believe that we ought to voluntarily, willfully, gladly grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that one must rid themselves of carnal attitudes and actions. I believe before you and I can grow, I believe that we have to get rid of certain appetites, carnal and worldly appetites. If we keep all those worldly things in our life, I believe that it will curb our appetite or even deaden our appetite for spiritual things, and we'll become underdeveloped as children of God. If you don't grow as a child of God, you're more susceptible to the devil's attack. Now listen, I want you to notice those things in verse number 1. He says, wherefore, laying aside all, and he mentions five things. I want you to notice, first of all, the phrase laying aside. It means literally casting off. It means to put away these things once and for all. To reject those things. I believe the problem with some folks is that they've never laid aside these things. I believe the problem with other folks is that they have picked up these things again. Amen. Now let's look at these five things very quickly. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, that is despitefulness, that is intense anger, it is resentment, it is ill will towards somebody else, whether it be intentional and unprovoked. I believe it is the desire to cause another pain or injury without justification. You ever know anybody that's just so mean and hateful, all they want to do is hurt somebody else? I mean, if they disagree with you or you disagree with them, if they don't like you or they think you don't like them, they're going to do anything and everything they can to hurt you, whether it be physically or mentally or spiritually. They'll tell lies on you. They'll try to hurt your testimony even if they know it's a lie. Amen. That makes them feel good. Malice is something that is from the inherent evil of the old nature. When malice comes out, you better know there is something wrong with you. Amen. If you're really saved, when malice comes out, you better get on your knees and repent. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile. That's deceitfulness. That's underhandedness. Amen. You know, that's being devious and crafty. That is a cutthroat characteristic. People that are full of guile, they'll go around politicking in a church. Politicking don't belong in a church, I'm just telling you. They'll go around undermining authority, usurping authority. They'll push their own agenda, amen, under the guise of godliness. They'll act like, well, you know, the Lord sent them here, and the Lord called them to do something here, and you know, if you don't agree with that, they're going to do everything they can. They're going to try to sneak that in under the radar. They'll go over the preacher's head. If at the business meeting, the deacons, they don't like it, they'll try to go over their heads, and they'll politic, and they'll, I don't believe Brother Bob is a demon. I forget sometimes that most deacons I ever known, you know, they just so mean. I was a deacon once, right here. Bobby and I were ordained at the same time. You understand what I mean? You know, they push their own agenda through subtlety. You look out for folks like that. Am I right? Wherefore, laying aside all hypocrisies. Y'all know what a hypocrite is, amen? Anybody here a hypocrite? See, y'all are hypocrites. I won't even admit it. Amen? Listen. Hypocrisy is deception. It's pretense. It's being an imposter. It's full of insincerities. It's dishonest. It is tricky. Being a hypocrite is giving the appearance of being someone or something. It's a theatrical word. It means to play, act. And there are folks sitting in churches today, just like this church, that are playing church. Amen. They're trying to act like Christians. And eventually, I mean, listen, what I don't understand is, you know, what in the world, or who in the world are they trying to fool? I mean, they might fool the person that's next to them. More than likely, they won't fool the pastor. I believe that I know every wolf in sheep clothing in my church. I believe I could walk into a church and in about an hour's time, I can pick out the wolves. I can pick out the troublemakers. Say amen. But it doesn't matter. Even if you can fool me or if you can fool Brother Willie, listen, you cannot fool God. So no use to try to put on a show. And then look at that fourth thing, envies. Wherefore, laying aside all envies. I hate envy. I hate jealousy. You know what that is? That is discontent. It is resentment toward others. If you think somebody is better off than you or has better things than you, and you desire to have what they have, they're trying to talk about that. You and I need to be content with such things as we have. The Lord has said He'll never leave us or forsake us. There's a woman in our church. Don't y'all tell her. Now, ain't nobody here from my church. So, but I want you to understand there's a woman in my church that every time Melanie gets a different haircut, she notices it. I believe she notices it when one hair is different than the other. And she'll come up and say, "When'd you get your haircut?" You know I'm going to get my hair covered like that. You know I'm going to get my hair cut like that. My wife can get a new dress. Or she'll have a new blouse on. She'll say, "Where'd you get that?" I'm like, she notices everything. She can have a new piece of jewelry. She'll know. It's gotten so bad that people will not give my wife gifts in public. They give them to us in privacy. That kind of thing that belong in the church, amen? You shouldn't be jealous of anything. If somebody wants to get your pastor's wife something, you don't need to be jealous. What happens is, if they give us a gift in front of somebody, this individual will run to that gift giver and say, Where's my gift? And they're serious. Am I right? Now listen. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings, defamation, gossip, slander, lies, false accusations or allegations. You know what all these things are very quickly? They're all signs of spiritual. So number one, some people don't grow because they have elected not to obey God. Look at verse number two. Number two, I believe some people are not growing because they have neglected the Word of God. Amen. Listen, you can't grow apart from the Bible. I think some folks haven't grown because they have no desire for the Bible. They've never read the Bible through. Amen. They got little passages where, you know, that are marked here and there. And you'll say, did you read your Bible then? And they say, yeah, you know, this is what I do, preacher. You know, I have these verses marked, and they've had it marked for 20 years. And he said, when I feel bad, I just sit down and I flip through my Bible. And when I see one marked, I just read it. And I just... They never read the Bible. They never read one whole book. They never read the New Testament. They never read the Old Testament. I think you ought to read the King James Bible through and through. From Amen? I believe my Bible. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. In fact, I believe it from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. I believe the cover, it says genuine letter. Amen. I like that. I believe that that you and I will never ever grow if we neglect the Word of God. There has to be a fervent desire, an intense longing for the Word of God. I believe God's children that are growing, I believe they long for preaching. They long to read the Bible. They long to hear the Word of God. They long and they desire teaching. Amen. Notice he says, as newborn babes desire. Y'all know how babies are. You know, when they're hungry, they go to screaming. They go to throwing a fit. I mean, they're not dying. They just want you to think they are. I'm thirsty. Yeah! I'm thirsty. Yeah! And then they won't shut up until you feed them. Isn't that right? I believe you and I ought to have a longing and a desire for the Word of God like a baby does milk. Amen. It's the sincere Word of God. It is pure. It is unadulterated. You and I will never grow without it. Many, I believe, have neglected God's Word, and therefore there's an ignorance of God's precepts, doctrines. Many people cannot defend what they believe. Many people do not know what they believe. Many people do not know why they believe what they believe. Say amen. I believe there's an ignorance, not only of God's precepts, but of God's people. You know, they don't know, you know, different Bible characters, one from another. David from Daniel, Adam from Apollos, you know, Hannah from Hosea, Jochebed from, Joseph. I'll give an example, if you would. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hezekiah, if you would. Y'all know there ain't no book of Hezekiah. Huh? That's what I mean. Huh? I mean, listen, I think that there's an ignorance of God's power, the need of God's power to be successful. It's not about my plans, your programs. It's not about personality. It's not about money. I think what we need is God's power. And when we're not growing, we don't recognize that. We do everything in the energy of the flesh. People are ignorant of God's program, prophetically, dispensationally, practically. What we need is a steady diet of the Word of God. Three things I want you to notice. We must, number one, love the Bible. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalms. Not a chicken. Psalm number 119. Psalm number 119. If you would like to read about the Word of God, turn to Psalm number 119. It's got 176 verses. Almost every verse. Almost every 176 verses in that psalm speaks about the Word of God some way, somehow. I want you to begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 97. The psalmist says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Look at verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Look at verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm number 119, verse 165. Look there at that verse. Great peace have they that love thy law. If you want peace in every circumstance, you need to learn to love the Bible. And then that's not it. That's not all. It says, and nothing shall abide. You ever been offended? If you get offended all the time, you got a chip on your shoulder, you wear your feelings up here off, you're ready for somebody to knock it off, it's because you have no peace and you don't love God. Amen. I believe that you and I must love the Word of God. We have to read it, study it. We need to hear it. We need to heed it. Number two, we must learn God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Look at Psalm number 119 and verse number 12. He says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes." That ought to be our prayer. Look at verse 26. "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk with thy wonder work of thy wondrous works." Look at verse number 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." Verse 64. "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." You all hit the point. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, teach me. Teach me. Lord, I love your word. Lord, teach me your word. Lord, speak to me. Amen. I believe you and I need to understand that the Word of God is our spiritual staple. It is the food that we need. We cannot survive without the Word of God. No Christian can, no church can. I do not believe our country can. I believe that is why Sunday school is important. Why Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday is important. I believe that whatever service your church has, if it's revival services, you ought to come and hear the Word of God. Say amen. I believe that you and I must love it, we must learn it, and clearly we must live it. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone," right? But how? "By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He's saying, you live by the Word of God. Hey, you know what this book will do? This book will make you talk right. Amen? It'll make you think right. It'll make you walk right. It'll make you dress right. Amen? I believe this book will make you look right. I believe it'll make you spit white. Amen. If you don't spit white, some of y'all understand. And what I believe is that some are not growing because they have neglected the Word of God. Some are not growing because they have elected not to obey God. Number three of the text. He said, "Wherefore laid aside, wherefore, since you've been saved, laid aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speaking, newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." If. And that's a word that brings to mind self-examination. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. See, I believe some folks aren't growing because they have rejected the Son of God. In other words, what I'm saying is that they're not really saved. See, I believe some are just not taking in the Word of God like they ought to. But I believe some have never partaken of the Son of God.
Amen.
Like they claim to have. Amen. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen? Listen, I believe if you've tasted of His grace, then you're saved. And you ought to be growing. Amen? We ought to be ashamed if we're not moving forward. You say, does God expect you and I to start growing the very moment we get saved? I believe He does. I believe that's why we have this passage of Scripture that we're reading today. Amen? You say, well, how fast are we supposed to grow? Everybody grows on different levels. Everybody's at a different level. I don't believe that bothers the Lord. I believe that we're to grow line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Just forward, progressive movement. That's what He wants. Amen. And one's going a little faster than the other. He just wants us to be growing forward, or moving forward. In order to grow in the Lord, first of all, you have to read the Scripture. Amen. In other words, the Bible says, for all of sin comes before the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Huh? But then it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You have to believe what the Word of God says, the Scripture says, about sin's penalty, about sin's cure. Number two, you have to receive the Savior. You will never, ever grow until you get saved. Y'all believe that? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll ask the musician to come. Many clearly have never, ever trusted the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. They struggle along. They don't even know why they're not growing. That's the first thing I've checked. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is precious, examine yourself. Have I tasted? Have I partaken of the Lord's grace? Am I saved? Have I really been born again? Have I trusted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior? If you can ask yourself that question, you say, well, I'm not sure. I don't know. I believe I'd take care of that thing right here. You say, well, I think I have. I believe you ought to be sure about that. I believe you ought to know that you're saved. If you're here today and you've never been saved, why don't you just step out of your pew and come talk to this person? Come talk to Brother Willie. Tell him you want to get saved. The Lord will save you right here, right now. If you're here and you know that you're saved, you'll be able to shut it down. But you're not growing like you should. You haven't been growing lately like you should have, like you could have. Maybe right now you need to just bow down in your pew, make an altar where you're at. If you feel more comfortable, come to these altar benches. And confess your sin and your slackness. Say, Lord, I want to grow. Lord, I want to get into your word more. Lord, I want to get closer to you. I want you to use me. I want to grow like I've never grown before. Lord, forgive me for backsliding. Lord, forgive me for stopping. Anybody here like that? Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you'll bless your word, bless the message. Lord, I pray that you'll help us have a desire to walk close to you. You saved our soul. Lord, we're not going to a devil's hell because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Lord, it's only reasonable that we walk with you, that we talk with you, that we grow closer to you each and every day. Lord, help us to do better. I know we can all do better. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless this church again. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us through the rest of the evening. Help us to keep our minds on you, I pray. Bless again this pastor. And Lord, as they lead in the singing, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. That is so important. It just seems like, you know,